Welcome back to No Filter Femme, the podcast where we have real, unfiltered conversations about the lives of Black women over 40. I am Malia, your co-host.
And I'm Kelly Mason. Today's episode is a deep dive into a crucial question. I'm really looking forward to this one. This is going to be a great question. The question on the table today is, do Black women deserve good things?
All right, so we're going to break it down into three big areas that we're going to talk about to dig into this and ask what is really resonating with Black women who are striving to live their fullest and best lives. And if we are availing ourselves of all of the good things that we deserve. Mm-hmm. The first is, how do you see your value and how does it shape your life choices? The second is, in which ways are you contributing to your life narrative?
Yeah.
And third, are you ready to accept love, success, and happiness as you were created to receive it?
Okay, so let's kick things off by talking about recognizing our worth. How do we see our value and how does it shape our life choices? You know, many years ago, I had this analogy shared with me that one thing that you would never see and a clearance rack that you would never see on sale is a Chanel, a Prada, an Hermes, a Valentino. These are brands you would never see on the clearance rack or in any type of sale format.
Yeah.
Because there was an understanding within that brand, its value. And it's stuck with me for years. And I think it's apropos for this discussion that so many times that internal conversation hasn't really taken place in a space where there's an understanding internally of what my worth is and what my value is. And I feel like it's good for us to start there because before any outside parameters, decisions, discussions, input, feedback, unsolicited feedback.
Often unsolicited.
Takes place that we have to have the conversation with ourselves. Because if I don't know my value, if I don't know that there will never be an instance where you will find me on a clearance rack, you will find me on sale. And when I say that, and I'm not even talking about necessarily solely from a physical standpoint, but my time is valuable.
Yeah.
My essence is valuable. My presence is valuable. All of those things are valuable because they're intrinsic within me.
I love that. And I think another side of it is when we've gone through things and have experienced traumas in our life that have tried or maybe attempted to diminish our value.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have to do a reassessment and we have to remember. And I saw an analogy, I mean, it may have been like on TikTok, maybe a minister, where he took a $100 bill and he balled it up in his hand. He asked, you know, somebody bring me a $100 bill. They brought it. He balled it up in his hand and he gave it back to him. And he said, how much money do you have that I give you? And the man said, $100. He said, yes, that $100 bill is still valued at $100, even though it's crumpled, even though it's wrinkled, even though it's been beaten up, even though it's been abused, even though it's been, it might not be the prettiest $100 bill right now, but baby, you could take that $100 bill to the store and you can still do with it what a $100 bill does.
Absolutely.
And so I think that you're right in starting this conversation about answering the question, do Black women deserve good things? One, we know that's the answer to that is yes.
Absolutely.
The real question is, do we know?
Yes.
Based on our value.
Yeah.
What the good things are that we in fact deserve. Mm-hmm. And at what point do we stop diminishing ourselves because we've been through some things?
Yeah. I love that analogy because I do think the wear and tear of life, whether it's the wear and tear that we have initiated or the wear and tear of scenarios, experiences outside of our control, much like that $100 bill, have crumpled and crushed and changed our optics of ourselves. Yeah. And the optics can then obviously impact the internal discussion. And so, yes, you're right. The resounding answer to the overall question is, oh, yeah, absolutely. But is it an absolutely?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think so many of us have found ourselves in scenarios where the situations and the weight of life have really beat us up.
Yeah.
And they've taken a toll. And we, particularly as we are here longer on earth, have more experiences. And so the things that we chatted about in the first episode of feeling refreshed and reset and reinvigorated at 40, I do think there are likely some/many women who feel don't necessarily have that experience.
Yeah.
Didn't necessarily feel it refreshing. It can be very reflective in that I thought I would be further along. I thought I would have certain things. I'm still waiting for a spouse. I'm still waiting for a different career opportunity. I'm still waiting for this opportunity, fill in the blank, to come across my path. But do we really believe that we deserve it? Even if it came to our front door.
And I think part of answering that question is it's evident in the choices that we make, whether or not we believe it.
That's good.
Because, you know, I'll use myself, for example. Before I met my husband, just in my dating life, you know, as I was, you know, 20s and 30s and, you know, in and out of relationships, I can tell you that every man that I dated to my husband was a reflection of how I felt about myself at that time, right? It was a reflection of how little I valued myself.
Yeah.
Because I took what was presented. I didn't make a demand for much,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And part of it was because I felt like if I didn't say yes to certain relationships and certain situationships, that might be my last opportunity because, you know, after all, listen, I'm that crumpled $100 bill.
Yeah.
And who wants a crumpled $100 bill?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so if this man is paying attention to me, if he is offering to take me out on a date, if he wants sex, even if I don't want to have sex, I better do it.
Yep.
Because if I don't do it, he's going to move on to the next one instead of me recognizing, well, listen, I'm worth more than that, right? I'm worth more than a date. I'm worth more than a bed. I'm worth more than somebody just having me on their arm as a piece of arm candy. And I would rather wait and be by myself
mm-hmm.
and find peace in getting to know myself. Because that's really what I should have been doing during that time that I didn't do a good job of, was using those years to explore.
That's good.
To learn. I was so, can I just be honest?
Yes, please. This is no filter film.
I was thirsty.
Okay. The thirst was real.
I was thirsty though for love and attention.
Okay.
The love and attention that I didn't quite frankly get from my father.
Mm-hmm.
That's
good.
Yeah. I mean, it's the truth.
That's good.
The love and affection that I didn't get from my father, I was absolutely seeking after it in the relationships, and what I ended up with were other representations of an unavailable male love.
Oh, that's good. When do you think you recognize that?
You know, I mean, to be honest, I think I knew it early enough to do something about it and didn't.
Okay.
Right. You know, 20s, you're reckless. I was reckless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just living. I don't think that probably in my early to mid-20s, I was conscious of, you know, that was sort of driving the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But probably, you know, right around mid-20s, late 20s, definitely early 30s, you know, and at that point, I've, you know, had a few counseling sessions in my life, met with a few therapists, you know, try to figure some things out.
Yeah.
To give language to what the cycles that I was repeating in my life. So that helped me understand that, girl, you are seeking something that you will never be able to recreate in another man.
That's good.
Right? You know, you have to resolve these daddy issues that you have that are impacting, going back to value, that are impacting the way you're seeing and assessing your value. And until you do that, until you do that, you are going to continue to date different sides of your dad's personality. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Mm. And so I cycled through that a few times, yeah. a few more times than I would like to remember. Hey, and if you see me, hey, hey, boo.
Hey, boo.
you know who you are.
But if you don't say anything.
We neither one. Don't say nothing. We don't need no comments.
Nobody will know who you are.
Keep it cute. Keep it cute.
But you make a great point because so I was abstinent for 17 years in that time that I was in ministry. And when I got to the dating scene in my late 30s, I felt a different lack of worth because I wasn't well-versed in the bedroom. I wasn't well-versed in relationships. I was very green. I was very naive. And so I really believed a lot of what I had heard societally, that as a Black woman, there were only so few options.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was interested in partnering with a Black man,
yeah.
the options were yeah. very limited, very few. And I felt, well, I'm way behind the curve here.
Yeah.
And so my lack of worth was slightly different in that I didn't really think I had much to offer because I wasn't as experienced in many different areas. And so like you, I entertained some jokers that, girl, why?
I know.
Just even entertaining. And I'll never forget this conversation I had with this one guy, and I actually really appreciate it. And I told him I appreciated him. He said, you know, this was after I had been doing like some online dating and in-person datings and gone to some socials and mixers and was having a good time, but found that every single time around the 3 to 4 week, maybe 2 month time period, I would get ghosted. And when I met him, he came in guns blazing because I was like, oh no, it's a clank clank.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm 17 years in. Now, you know, I know what the woo-woo and the woo-woo and all that, but the woo-woo ain't gonna make the panties drop.
Right.
Okay, right. So he finally had a very honest conversation with me. He said, I'm gonna tell you what really probably many men before have not said to you. The reason you get ghosted, the reason they walk away is because you actually mean what you say.
Ooh.
And there are enough women who don't mean what they say. Mm-hmm. And because the numbers aren't in your favor, it's like, well, she really means this thing. So let me tiptoe on over here.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I was reading this as, well, they just keep leaving me. It felt like a constant rejection of me. And I was already walking into the scenario thinking, I'm so far behind the curve. I don't really have much to offer. But similar to what you were sharing, I had to decide within me, no, this was not a connection for me.
Yeah.
But until I figured that out, until I started having some internal conversation of, but no, this is really what I deserve.
Yeah.
I just kept settling for, well, I'll just meet the next one.
Yeah.
And the next one will be different. And the next one will be better connection.
I mean, I think it's hard to define what you want when you don't know who you are.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And so that's, I think, true. Because you had that time alone, you know, for those 17 years, like that you were really able to like connect with yourself because you were just with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You arrived in a dating situation a little bit more clear about, you know, okay, yes, still maybe naive, but inadvertently, like, no, you know, like he said, saying what you mean and meaning what you say,
yeah.
which probably made a lot of men uncomfortable. I think the flip side of that, when you don't know who you are, or you are living out of a place of unhealed trauma and you are sort of accepting what's dropped at your doorstep because, and it circled back to the same thing that you said inevitably, which is, you know, rejection.
Yeah.
Like I'm feeling rejected. And in yours, it was positive because they were rejecting you because, you know, you were setting some boundaries.
Yeah.
Like you were defining some things. For me, what I realized is, baby, you can give it up all you want. It's not going to make a man want to be with you.
Yes.
It's not going to make a man want to wife you.
Yeah.
I mean, can we just have that conversation? Do black women deserve, get what they deserve or deserve good things? Again, the answer to that is yes, but are we putting ourselves in a position to get those good things? And I got to tell you, I accidentally ran up on this with my husband. Like, I met my husband and he happened to live in Washington, D.C. And I lived in Miami, Florida. And we met out. And, you know, I've never been sort of a big one night stand person anyway. So his one opportunity would have been that night. That was the night we met. And then he went back to D.C. And so we dated long distance for a period of time.
Okay.
I can't say that if he had lived in Miami with the mindset that I had then, that I wouldn't have probably given more of myself sooner than I wanted to. And I'm not quantifying that time for anybody else but me and what hadn't worked for me in that point,
right,
up to that point.
Right.
Which was giving too much too early left me ghosted, hurt, rejected, and feeling like, listen, I done gave away some free booty.
Yeah, man.
For what?
A ghost.
For what?
Trading booty for a ghost.
For what?
Yeah.
Now, I have my own beliefs about you. Now, looking back, because, you know, at that time, I was in the church. I was a work. I mean, I was all of that. I felt that I was doing things that were against my biblical principles, but I was still doing them.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, because, you know, we're not perfect. I mean, we have to have these real unfiltered conversations.
Yes.
Because, you know, women are in the church, women are serving, women are doing all of these things, and we are still women living life, still, you know, being tempted by things. And what I would say the biggest lesson for me in that was there was nothing worth the exchange that I was making at that time
from my
body.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't found one.
Okay.
I hadn't found one. And like I said, it was just by happenstance that my husband was long distance. Or I think I probably would have given up too much too fast and we wouldn't be together. I think, I absolutely believe that it was the delay.
Really?
That distance caused. That allowed us to get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Again, because that was the way I was showing up in relationships. Because this is the way you get affection.
Yeah.
Because of, again, some of my trauma, some of the things that having been molested, having gone through some things, I very much felt that it was the physical side that would make somebody want to be with me.
Okay.
And then, you know, with having an absentee father for the most part until I was 13, not knowing what having a good, solid male figure in my life was, I felt the only thing that I had to offer was my body.
Wow.
Was my body.
Wow.
And, you know, having that distance with my husband and allowing us being allowed to get to know each other intimately before we were ever intimately physically,
mm-hmm,
made all the difference in the world in my relationship.
Yeah.
And so I was able to demonstrate value and learn my value. Oh, wait a minute. So I can hold a meaningful conversation about politics, about religion, about, you know, family, about, right? Like, we're not jumping right in the bed and then I'll, you know, so that was a game changer for me in being able to say, sometimes value requires, and understanding value requires patience.
Yeah.
Patience for you to know and understand your intrinsic value, as well as to allow other people. For example, when you go into, if you go to the Louvre, you don't sprint through. You take your time.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You stop.
Uh-huh.
At each painting, and you take it in.
Mm-hmm. You have an experience.
You experience the value that you know is all around you. It's a thing.
That's good.
And so I think oftentimes, you know, as Black women, especially as we start to approach 40, because we have all of these myths about life being over for us,
mm-hmm,
after that,
mm-hmm,
we start sprinting through things.
That's good.
Trying to make things happen and at the same time diminishing value.
That's good. I love the Louvre example that you gave, because I do think what's intrinsic about that space is that environment, the ambiance, the expectation has been set that when someone enters that space, there is a pause. There is a recognition and an acknowledgement that this is a unique experience. Yeah. And so therefore, because it is a unique experience, you can't sprint through it or you will miss it.
You'll miss it.
And to your point that you were just making, I do think for Black women, oftentimes, similar to what we were sharing in episode one, we're so busy caring for and figuring out and fixing and resolving and solving so many things for so many people that obviously we get pushed further and further down the priority list. And then likewise, we don't feel that we deserve to say no. We don't feel like we deserve to not just accept whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I mean, I've got this, whatever the this is. Yeah. And this should be sufficient, as opposed to what you were saying. What I hear you saying is you and your husband had the gift of distance and time. Mm-hmm. And that gift for you specifically allowed you an opportunity to say, wow, I do really have something else to offer, and I deserve.
And I deserve. I deserve.
I deserve it. And I'm experiencing it, which lets me know it's possible.
Yeah.
Like for me, I thought that in my instance, I could cook, counsel, pray, and fast the man to where he needed to be.
Baby.
I was exchanging. I mean, like literally fasting. I remember this guy that I was in a relationship with when I was 29-ish, I want to say. Late 20s, very, very early 30s, maybe 30, 31 at the oldest. And I would go on to fast. I need to fast and pray for this man because that's my gifting. Now, I'm not quite sure what exactly I thought my fasting and praying was going to do against someone else's will.
Well, say that part. Yes.
Now, if I wanted to fast and pray on whether or not I should stay and fast and pray on whether or not I am worth what I am experiencing, that would be one thing, because, again, that's a reflection of me and my inner work. But for me, I thought my worth was my spiritual connection, mm-hmm. which goes against someone's will, goes against their decision-making abilities, goes right. against so many other things. And again, I didn't feel that I was worth of, no, I shouldn't have to go through all of that.
Especially not dating. Now we're talking about dating. Dating, where, honey, you don't have a contract.
Mm-mm.
You know, you shouldn't have there's a lot of opportunity for you just to make another decision.
Yes.
More so than, you know, when you're married. And I'm a believer of fasting and praying, but you got to be careful that your fasting and praying is not translating into manipulation.
And it's such a gray and fine line. And I love that you made the distinction of, but yeah, fasting and praying when we're in a covenant, we done stood before a bunch of people. We got legally binding documents. We have commitments, whatever that may look like. But somebody that I'm dating.
Right. Like you literally can just make a different decision.
Yes.
But we don't want that. Like we want to manipulate the situation because we have told ourselves that this is either all I'm worth or deserving of. Mm-hmm. And this has to work. And I mean, let me tell you something. That thing is so powerful, like so powerful that it will drive you mad.
Yeah.
Because you are literally trying to force a square peg in a round hole when you don't have to fast about anything. You don't have to pray about anything because everything that is driving you to feel like you have to do that is telling you that this is probably not the situation or relationship for you.
Yes.
And baby, why do you want to marry a man that you've got to manipulate into being in a relationship with you?
Because if I've got to manipulate him to be in the relationship,
you're going to have to manipulate to keep him.
I had this dear friend who said to me one time, she said, this is many, many years ago. She said, Kelly, men are like taxi cabs.
Like, now, where this is going?
Mm-hmm. Right? This is where this is going. You could tell this was many years ago because this was pre-Uber,
right.
pre-Lyft,
like all the
the old school yellow cab, taxi cabs.
Yes, ma'am.
If you can envision that, like in like a New York City, like a Chicago, like a LA, where, you know, you're just hailing a cab. Straight Sex in the City, Carrie Bradshaw and crew style. She said, men are like taxi cabs. They will ride around. They will even perhaps, you know, look at potential passengers that may go into their vehicle. They may even stop, have a conversation. But until they flip on that on-duty light, there's nothing that you can do. And I thought it was so poignant, and I know that may seem controversial for a modern day conversation, but I think the merit of it is still very valid in that whether it's a man, whether it's a woman, until that individual decides, I am in this.
Yeah.
You can fast and pray. You can give up the booty. You can cook. You can clean. You can be everything and then some.
Yeah.
But until they make that decision, there really isn't anything you can do, which goes back to what is your worth and your value?
Right. And why are you trying to continue to stick that square peg in a round hole?
Yeah.
Right? Because you're likely doing that because you feel like this is your one shot.
It's trying to leave it.
Desperation.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially as we start to age.
Yes.
Because if one more person asked me, when are you getting married? If one more person asked me why I'm, you know what I mean? And so that societal pressure, I mean, do not let that back you into a bad situation. Because again, if you, it's not that relationships aren't work, because they are, but it shouldn't be hurtful work.
Yeah.
Right? It should be, you know, co-laboring in a way that you feel supported, empowered, encouraged, and loved and protected through.
Right.
And not that I'm striving for baby, if you have to fight for his attention now. Mm-mm. Now, in dating,
mm-hmm.
there is nothing that you are going to be able to do. Oprah said this, and I love it. She said this years ago when she had the Oprah show, and I was younger, and this stuck out to me even then. She asked the lady, if you are with this man today and he never changed, like never, mm-hmm. this was the man that you have today that you're going to have 60 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Can you live with him as he is today, 60 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's really the question is, can you live with it? It doesn't mean that they won't change.
Right.
That God can't change them, that they can't will themselves to do something different and make better decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in a dating relationship, that's your question. Before you say I do is, can I live with this joker like he is? Because I think a lot of us fool ourselves into believing that once we get the ring, that ring is going to give us some superpower.
Yep.
To be able to manipulate change in somebody.
Yes.
And the reality is, unless, like you said, that person is willing to submit to change,
mm-hmm.
to become, because we're all evolving. We haven't arrived in a relationship as perfect people
right.
on either side. But both parties have to be willing to do the work.
Yes.
And see the value in the relationship. And I know this isn't a conversation solely about relationships, but I think when you're talking about, do Black women deserve good things? I think at the top of the list for us, it is our romantic relationships, because that is where we are hurting and suffering the most.
Yeah. But I think it's the romantic relationships, and it's relationships across the board.
Yeah.
Do we deserve healthy, loving, caring, purposeful relationships in a romantic space? Do we deserve productive, respectful career relationships Ugh. With coworkers? Do we deserve healthy relationships with family that aren't riddled with shame and guilt and obligation and ridicule when things when we decide to make different decisions, I think the conversation is still good across all of those spectrums. Do we deserve, even within ourselves, you know, we're in this soft girl era and this, which I go back and forth with that term, but I think as Black women, we are finally getting to a space of, you know, I deserve a life that isn't always struggle and stress and hard with a partner or without a partner, but particularly with a partner.
Because why are we doing all this to get, why am I doing all this struggle to be, to exist, to thrive within the context of a committed relationship where, babes, we should be lifting each other up.
Yeah.
Right? We should be helping each other. We should be supportive of each other. And so I think it's, you know, a prudent conversation to have.